Andrews Hall Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Got a lot to talk about today. We got some college basketball heating up. Baseball season has begun with spring training well underway. We have the NFL Combine. People are running. We have just a whole bunch of stuff. NBA trade deadline was this past week. It's going to be a good show.
You know, pick up a New York Post. You probably already get it. It's a great, great article in there. We're going to talk about it later. We're going to take calls about it. If you're a season ticket holder for the Jets and the Giants, you now have a PSL to pay. I mean, it's not like your tickets aren't expensive enough, but now you get to throw that huge basically what it is a tax on your seats to even be able to purchase the tickets. And, of course, a lot of teams have gone through that. I'm just waiting for Dan Snyder in Washington to do that because he's never done that. But he really can't afford to do that because his stadium is shrinking as we speak because he can't sell out the 92,000 seats that he actually built in. I mean, he put 92,000 seats into a stadium that really should never have had more than 70, 75.
And then he had to rip out, over 10,000 of them.
Yeah, he ripped out, it's more than that. I don't think that they have more than 76,000 now. And they were up to 92. What they did was they took a huge portion of their upper deck worst seats out, and they made it a beer garden.
Yeah.
And which is, cool. But
party deck, they call it.
It's a party deck. Yeah. It's $100 a ticket, basically.
Standing room only.
Yeah, you can buy those through the Redskins, and then you spend another $100 on beer.
Right.
And then you got to spend another $500 to $1,000 to get bailed out of jail because you get in a fight drinking too much beer at this wonderful place.
And the whole pool there is you get club access. So that's the thing. Oh, you get to walk through the club and eat at Hooters and all that kind of stuff when really you don't have a seat.
It's unbelievable. Listen, just like everybody up there that was watching that, I saw one of the best college games I've seen all year. And I've seen Syracuse play five or six times. And to be honest with you, I haven't caught all of any one of their games. I've caught the ending of some of their games, which were unbelievable. But I watched the entire game last night. It was one of the most best games I've ever seen. You know, top 10. And it was a good defensive game. It was 26-26 at halftime. Yep. And really, I thought Syracuse totally outplayed Duke in the first half. Duke got hot a little bit at the end, and Syracuse was shooting like there was a cover on top of the rim for a while. But you got to Duke always plays great defense. Syracuse played great defense last night. They were out rebounding Duke at will in the first half. Then in the second half, Duke took off, and Syracuse stayed with them. And one of the greatest endings you'll ever see to a game, basically. You know, and look, I'm a coach, Roy. I've been tossed, and I deserve to get tossed usually when I get tossed. And in baseball, it's a little different. I don't think I've ever been tossed from a basketball game because I never coached anything past fifth and sixth grade in basketball. Nobody gets that upset at that level. And if they do, they need to find something else to do with their time. I'm Bruce Hall, and you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Here with Roy Edwards. So glad to have Roy back today.
It's good to be back.
It's always great to just throw stuff at Roy. Plus, Roy's got connections galore. We're kind of in what normally would be a kind of a slow spot in sports, but the combine is now, which the league sells. And I got to tell you, what a great crowd they have for that combine. There's no one there in the stands. I don't even think they let the media down on the field. I haven't seen anybody except coaches and people running the event down on the field, and I've seen a lot of interviews done, even with some really good commentators, some really top-line commentators, being done, in the top boxes, in the press box area of the Indianapolis.
The nosebleeds. If you've never, if you're just a listener and you've never really wondered, if you always wondered, where do the media sit? at these games. Well, we get the big nosebleed seats all the way above the top rafters.
And you'll never see me there. Because I'll be doing my work right down there where I'm sitting.
That's where I
sit. Right behind the dugout.
I sit at the very top nosebleeds, but there is free popcorn up there.
Well, there's always food because when have you ever seen... That's all the media shows up to do anyway.
That's right. That's the only reason why I ever go.
They show up for the free food. And by the way, spring training's on the way.
Yeah,
I can't wait. I'll be out of here. I won't miss one show for a change. Usually I go for a couple of weeks, but I'm only going for 6 days this time.
That's what you say now.
Am I doing this right, Matt?
Yeah, you're
I'm not hitting anything, am I? Matt is still trying to get me. We have these really nice microphones now in the studio that Matt purchased with his winnings from listening to all of my shows. No, I'm just kidding. And I have to. There's a certain way that you talk into the microphone, and all microphones are different. You know, back in the old days, I used to just put my mouth around the microphone and talk.
Yeah,
you just eat the microphone, and you know,
it sounded great.
But anyway, there's a great.
The way it was.
If you get the New York Post, turn to page 69. That's an easy number to remember, and you've got Hazard Pay. Phil Mushnick, who I happen to think the world of, he writes great stuff, and he obviously feels the same way about Roger Goodell as I do, and. You know, basically it's called Hazard Pay. It says Goodell rewarded handsomely for creating hurdles for fans. And he really is. He says everything's for the fans except for, you know, the problem is that none of it's for the fans. It's all about money. It's always been about money. And how many guys, how many CEOs, because I can call them a CEO because basically that's what they're saying. That's how they put it. When they say, well, he's worth $44.2 million a year. Are you kidding me? $44.2 million a year? That means he takes home, he's got all kinds of shelters when you got that much money. He probably takes home about 30 to 35 of that. Somehow, one day, he will take home that much. If he just wrote a check for it, he'd probably only take home about 50% of it. But, geez, I think I could live off of 22 cash. I don't think that'd be a problem. And listen, I just would like to go out and say, I know more about sports than he does. B, I'm a lot nicer guy than he is. Actually, that's not true. I'm probably a lot tougher to deal with than he is. I just don't like the guy. I don't like what he's doing. I don't like what he says. I think I could learn to be his friend if I was around him enough. And he, and I got to tell you, there are some things that he was involved with for the past several years that ended up being pretty positive for the game. But it's a not-for-profit. There's a reason that, you know, every time these guys start doing things with the league that Congress gets involved because they have an exception. You know, they have an, you know, there are no antitrust laws really, you know, that these guys have to deal with. And that's just too much money. I'm sorry. Look, you know, pay my way. Just pay my way. I don't even eat that much. I'm on a non-gluten diet. Okay. Hell, I'll drive. I'll even drive if it's within 8 hours. You don't even have to fly me anywhere like you would him. They probably got their own NFL jet. You know, save your money. I don't need that. Pay me $1 million to $2 million a year. If I could take home $1 million a year, I'd be the best NFL commissioner in the history of the league. I really would be. And I'm not an attorney, so you can talk to me like somebody who, and I'm not even sure if Roger's an attorney. I probably should check on that before I start talking about that. But I got to tell you, I don't agree with it. And if you're from New York and you're listening to this show on WFAS, please give us a call and let's talk about how you feel, how you personally feel about your PSLs. Give us a call, 240-317-7294, 240-317-7294. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
If you are a New York Giants or Jets season ticket holder, we want to talk to you. Call in 240-317-7294. But before we get back to that PSL topic, let's jump into some NCAA
basketball.
Hey, let me
tell you something. Roy and I can do – we work well with tangents, okay? I can be talking about the NFL, and in 2 seconds, as my listeners know, I'm talking about Major League Baseball. So if you want to – I want you all to call in and vent. I've never had to pay a PSL. Now, I have friends that own ticket companies that pay hundreds of PSLs. Basically, what it is it's just money they say they throw down the tubes. Now, when you sell your tickets, you can always sell your tickets to a friend. You sell them your personal seat license. The team approves it, and then that person buys the tickets every year. They have the right. But I'm pretty sure they have to pass some kind of a credit check or something, you know, when you do that, because I can't imagine Dan Snyder just accepting anybody as taking over a PSL, and he doesn't even have PSLs. It's probably the one thing he's got going for him, wouldn't you say, Roy? I mean, if there's anything going for Dan Snyder, it's thank you, Dan, for not ripping off the fans even worse than you already right. have.
He's already done enough. $12 waters, parking's ridiculous. Can't bring any you can't bring a brown paper bag in to put over your head because we'll kick you out and take your season tickets away.
You know, it won't be long until I'm making that 8-hour drive to Augusta, Georgia for the week to do the Masters golf tournament again. And the one thing I love about making that drive is I make it on Saturday, the day of the NCAA Final Four semifinal games. So I listen to the first game generally while I'm on my way down there. And that's like a 3-hour broadcast, 2.5, 3-hour broadcast. Then when I get down there, the night game's on. Then on Monday night after the Monday practice rounds, everybody's watching, you know, the NCAA championship game. Mm-hmm. Roy is going to break down right now. Between he and I, we're going to figure this out. We're going to talk a little bit about these teams and how they've done and which direction they're going. It's definitely a great season for NCAA basketball. And there's not a lot of mid-majors, really, that are surprising anybody. Roy, go ahead. Let's start with – do we want to start, with the four seeds, or do you want to start at the top and work down?
I mean, do you want to – wherever you
want to
start.
Let's start with the ones. Let's figure out – I think you had it just right. If everything ended, because the conference tournaments are coming up, what, in 2 weeks?
There's about three-ish regular season games for teams.
Yeah, in 2 weeks. Not this coming week, but the week after that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of the season. And pretty sure the following week. No, it's going to be, you know what? The end of the season is probably at the end of this next week. Anyway, we'll figure it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, the next 2-ish weeks are. I mean, every team's different. You know, every team has played a different number of games at this point. But I believe, speaking as West Virginia, I think they have 3 games left. Their last game being March 8th against Kansas.
How does the Big 12 set up? Do you get a seed in the tournament based off your regular season standing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they don't have a tournament.
No, they do.
But it's totally separate.
Yeah, the Big 12 tournament is a lot like the Big East tournament, or the old Big East tournament. I'm not exactly sure how the new Big East is playing out their tournament. I assume it's going to be the same way. But however you finished in the conference standings, you're seeded that way. And then the top 4 or 8 teams, and in the Big East it was the top 8 teams because the Big East was so giant, got a bye. And the little guys fought it out to see if they could advance. And then the 2 seeds in the old Big East would play that next round with the 1 seed still having a double bye. That's because the Big East was gigantic. Now the Big East is much smaller. I believe it's 10 teams, much like the Big 12 conference is 10 teams.
Okay, let's start at the top. Right now, who would the ones be?
My ones
are... listen, after watching that Duke-Syracuse game, those teams are pretty even. As a matter of fact, Syracuse did nothing, in my opinion, to hurt themselves last night.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that Syracuse, as good as they've been this year, I believe they have two losses now. They lost to Boston College and they lost to Duke, both in ACC losses, which the Boston College loss hurts a lot more than this Duke loss. But Syracuse is not dropping out of a one seed. They're going to stay a one seed in the NCAA tournament, and they're going to stay in the top five in the NCAA rankings. I mean, they're still a power team. They're probably still the best team in the country. This is a lot like what happened to them last year when they were, you know, beasting through the Big East Conference, and they ended up losing a couple late because they play that zone where now you're starting to see teams get hot and they're starting to shoot the ball hot. And when you play a zone all year, you get a little lazy at times on the defensive side of the ball. So this is the same old story for Syracuse basketball. They're the one seed, they lose a couple late, and they're going to see somebody, maybe another mid-major like last year. Gonzaga jumped into the one spot, stayed there, coasted into the NCAA tournament. They ended up getting dropped. So we could see Wichita State jump Florida and take the number one overall ranking here, but I still believe Syracuse is a one seed in the tournament. I Florida is a one seed, and I still believe Wichita State is a one seed. So it's all about Arizona to me for that last.
Now, I saw them play about a quarter last night, and they were just totally dominating in their game that they played. But they were playing Colorado, I think. And Colorado's not a very good team.
Yeah, I mean, they're a very, very good basketball team. I mean, Arizona, they've been a number one team in the country this year. I mean, they are running through the Pac-12. I believe they have two losses. They beat Colorado 88-61 yesterday. So, I mean, Arizona, they don't really pose – there's no real threat out in the Pac-12 to them. UCLA is good. They're not a great team, but they're a ranked team at this point, although because the back end of this top 25 has been jumping all over the place. But I think Arizona, if they can stay a two-loss team and they can win out, and they don't have to necessarily win the Pac-12, but if they win a couple games in the Pac-12 tournament just enough to solidify themselves, I think they'll keep that one seed. Keeping a team like Duke or San Diego State or even a Kansas out of that last one seed. So I think your four one seeds are Syracuse, Florida, Wichita State, Arizona. Not really going out much of a limb there for those teams.
Now, Wichita State doesn't play the killer schedule a lot of these other teams do, but they're coming back from it's not like they're coming out of nowhere. They were in the Final Four last year, and they had a great season last year.
Yeah, they're
this is a team that is going to have to be dealt with and reckoned with. They're 27-0,
and they'll probably be undefeated throughout the year.
And if they do get beat, they may still hold their number one ranking from a standpoint of, you know, being a one going in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at Florida. You like Florida, right?
I do like Florida.
And they've got a great coach. You know, Billy's done such a good job there ever since he took over there. You know, he left Providence and came there. I just feel like they always get better. Have you ever noticed that? His teams don't peak early. They peak late. They always peak late. And I see Florida as an Elite Eight team. And I see them being a one. I don't know where they go out of. They're probably not going to go out of the East if Duke and Syracuse have anything to say about mm-hmm. that. They always like to have that, you know, that triangle area, Carolina area, or the New York area as, you know, where they want to do things,
because
it's just so much money in it too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many fans there, and it just drives the prices up and everything. How about twos? Who are we looking at as the twos?
Yeah, twos, I think you get a little more tricky. Duke lost to UNC this week and then beat Syracuse. UNC, although they did just put up 105 or whatever it was last night on somebody, they're not a very good basketball team. They've gotten hot late, but they've had a very, very up and down, mostly down year. And this could be one of those seasons for UNC where Syracuse is now in the ACC. Louisville's coming in next year. Notre Dame is a strong program. Duke is in there. UNC could quickly fall to the back end of the top five in the ACC. So losing to UNC is not very good pull for Duke, but Duke beating Syracuse, I think, cements them as a two seed. Like I said, they could possibly jump Arizona or maybe Florida, or definitely not Wichita State, because they're clearing this thing undefeated. But Duke could possibly be a one seed if somebody else falls. If not, they're a two seed. Same with San Diego State. I think San Diego State is going to win out the rest of their games. They don't play a very hard schedule, and they're a very well-respected basketball program at this year. They've been in the tournament now, you know, multiple years running. So San Diego State, I think they're a two. Kansas, if they're not a one seed, they're definitely a two seed.
Well, they are. They're probably a two now, but if they lose anymore, they've lost six games. And, mm-hmm. you know, you've got St. Louis playing lights out. And by the way, George Mason, I want to say they took him into overtime this week. I almost went to that game. Mm-hmm. George Mason at the Patriot Center.
Yeah.
It was filled up over there. And they went into overtime. I watched that game on television. And St. Louis, to me, they looked good. But for Mason to mm-hmm. take them into overtime mm-hmm. leads me to believe, like, you know, they're a 10. And I can see that, but their strength of schedule isn't there either. Yeah. It's you know, it's a lot like Creighton. You know, mm-hmm. Creighton is ranked 12 if you look at the USA Today coaches poll or the AP top 25.
Yep.
And they can play.
Yeah. They got one of the top players in the country.
Here's my team. Here's my surprise team for the University of Virginia Cavaliers.
UVA is very good.
My goodness. I mean, you know, this team, I got to go down here and see a ball game. I mean, mm-hmm. it's only an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
And, I really wanted to go see East Carolina University play UVA in baseball. UVA's baseball team's ranked number one. Now, they've lost a game already this season, but probably not going to affect, you know, their rankings because some of the better teams in the country in baseball have already lost. Now, I told you we could get off on a tangent.
Yeah.
But the University of Virginia basketball team, it's been since the 80s when Terry Holland was still there. And I'm not a Terry Holland fan by any means, but they haven't won this number of games in that long. It's been that long since they've done this. And I think Virginia's just going to get better. I saw them the other day. They were unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they do play a strength of schedule. They got a good strength of schedule. Even some of their non-conference games wins have been good. And then we're going to start breaking that stuff down mm-hmm. starting next week because those non-conference wins are everything. You know, especially against a very strong team. So you think that Kansas is going to be a two. You
yep.
think San Diego State's a two. You think Duke's probably a two. And you probably think either Cincinnati or Louisville's a two, maybe?
I don't think Cincinnati, Villanova, or Louisville will both, all three of them, they're all fighting out for one spot as a two. Because
I think you're right.
The Big East is not going to send, well, I guess AAC is Louisville now, but... Those conferences are not going to send more than one 2C.
All right, we'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So we just gave you our one and two seeds for the March Madness tournament.
Hey, you want to make a pick right now?
Sure.
You want to make a Final Four pick?
You want to make a Final
Four?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we can't, though.
Let's, I'll do a Final
no,
Four
No,
prediction.
No, no.
I mean, we'd have to see the brackets.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, at the same time, what is that? At the same time, we can still look at the team. I mean, look, I think Syracuse is a Final Four team. They're a Final Four
totally
team last
agree.
Year.
I totally agree.
And honestly, it doesn't really matter what
they got
bracket.
A Final Four coach. And by the way, anybody that's upset with him, that's the first game he's been ejected in 38 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you what? You would have thought he'd have been ejected 38 times in 38 years.
He's a fiery guy.
Because he gets away with a lot of stuff. But you know what he never, ever says? And I'm going to say this right now. We're talking about, of course, the ending to the Syracuse-Duke game last night. And please call in. Everybody had to be watching that in our listen area. 240-317-7294. Tell us if you thought that he deserved to get tossed. I say no. That guy to give him two techs. I could see teching him up once, not because of what he said. He really didn't say anything that bad. He just was in the middle of the floor.
He did the Michael Jackson jacket toss.
If you go to Twitter, you can find that. It's a great picture of Michael Jackson and Jimmy Boeheim looking exactly the same with their body positioning and their jackets. Michael Jackson, a little bit better. Did you hear the interview with him? You might not have heard it this morning. He said, well, you know, I thought I did well. I stayed low. I didn't get up that much. He goes, I was a little fiery. He said, but as far as, you know, how I think the question was, how do you feel about your performance? And what they meant was, are you embarrassed? And he's like, I thought I had good form.
Yeah.
You know,
he's not going to.
Hey, let me tell you something. He had every right to do the first thing, which was jump up in the air and scream. When you go 20 feet, 25 feet out on the floor and you look like you're ripping your jacket off, you are showing the official up a little bit. I mean, so they can definitely hit you with one technical right there. I don't think he said that. I don't think he even cursed at the guy. Now, we talked about this earlier when Coach K walked up to one of the officials who took the charge.
Yep.
On his guy, you know, the freshman, what's his name? The really good
Jabari Parker.
Jabari Parker's a phenomenal player. By the way, he had one of his best games ever. And you know, in that game, they didn't call much at all. If you looked at everything around the basket, there were people getting hit on the hands, on the elbows. They were letting them play. Mm-hmm. So when Coach Boeheim watches this charge. Watches this guy drive to the basket, and a guy jumps in, and he's obviously moving. He's even moving while he's going up. He left his feet. Any contact at that point is on the defensive player because he doesn't even have his feet on the ground. His feet eventually hit the ground, but after that, it was just a typical, you know, charging call by a guy that works on that in his mirror, you know, every week. That's what officials do. That's what umpires do in baseball. They work on their punch outs. They work on everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's Duke getting a call. Well, you're at Cameron Indoor, Coach K in a very close game. And
absolutely, that's Duke getting a call. Roy. Absolutely. And you're right. And what I started to say was that earlier in the game when Jabari Parker was called for a charge, I read lips very well. And Coach K doesn't care if you read his lips. I don't know if you've noticed that. He must drop 400 or 500 F-bombs a game. He walked up to the official and goes, "That was not your effing call. You blew that effing call." And I mean, he said effing about two or three more times. That guy didn't even, he walked away. Well, you know, now that was during a timeout. See, he had just called a timeout. I think after that charge, he either called time or it was a TV timeout. And so, you know, he was allowed to come out on the floor because his players were meeting him on the floor. And I got to tell you something. He gets away with murder. But he's won more games than anybody in the history of coaching, right?
Yeah.
He's won over 1,000 games.
If he's not,
Boeheim has 970-something. And Boeheim's we'll up have there to too, look. Yeah. They've got almost 2,000 together. It's ridiculous. And they're coaching the Team USA together.
Yeah, they are.
And that's going to have to be. I'll tell you what. That golf game is going to be a hell of a game between the two of them. Cape still plays golf. He's a decent golfer, but Boeheim's like a 3 handicap.
Krzyzewski is at
979,
and Boeheim is good for fourth all time, and Jim Boeheim is right behind him with 945.
Yeah, so they've got 1,900 plus between the two of them. They look pretty good still. And you know what? To their credit, they look the same as they look when they came in the league, basically. Yeah. I'm not sure if all the hair is the similar. Now, Boeheim doesn't go to any great lengths to make himself look like he's a brunette, like Coach K does. There's no way K's got that color hair. That's got to be ink. I mean, he just got to dip his head in ink and comb it. It's probably like $1,000 an ounce ink. I don't even know what guys do that because I got a full head of gray hair, which is a good thing, actually, the full head. Sorry, Roy.
It's okay.
But listen, let's talk a little bit about the combine now. NFL combine, another thing that Coach Goodell, listen to me. Roger Goodell is selling to the public. You know what some people said earlier this week, Roy? Mm-hmm. They said this might be the fourth or fifth biggest event after, you know, the NFL season, the Major League Baseball season. They're talking about the combine. For NFL, this is huge.
Oh, well, if you turn on it, you know, NFL Network, it's on nonstop. You know, the combine's live, and then it's looped. So you could turn it on NFL Network at any time of the day, and you can see Johnny Manziel running in his tights. I mean, it's a nonstop TV event for them, much like, and it's grown tremendously in right. recent years, much like how the draft is now, where it used to be only like, you know, the first round was on TV. And now it's the first round is one day, and then the rounds, whatever, the next day, and it's broken up into this week-long event of TV-ness.
TV-ness. I like that. TV-ness.
I mean, the NFL T-N-U-S. Is ridiculous.
You could
now.
Argue that the Combine is actually more popular than the Pro Bowl, can't you?
Oh, it's much Oh, God, it's not even close. The Pro Bowl, they're going to give it up because nobody watches it. Nobody wants to go
and
to
they
it.
Should.
I mean, some people would take... You know what? If they did the damn thing in Vegas, everybody would want to go. And you know what? I might go if it was in Vegas because it's after the NFL regular season and you can cash in your futures bets.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? When I go to spring training in 2 weeks, right? Yeah, 3 weeks. When I go to spring training, I've got a, you know, schedule. You know, you can fly to and from Vegas for like $100 on Southwest out of Phoenix. I got to go up there just to cash in. Because I won't go back there for the rest of the year until August. So, and plus, I need the money. You know, I didn't win every bet, but I won some good futures bets in Vegas, you know, on over-unders.
You hit Kansas City.
Didn't hit any. Yeah, I hit everybody. Everybody I told about Kansas City hit. And they were thanking me in November because they had already won 10 games.
Yeah.
I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion here with Roy Edwards, sportsmancave.com. And Matt on the box. Teddy Bridgewater is not going to run, I guess, because he doesn't look like he wants to run. I think that knowing that you're probably, you know, if you flipped a coin right now, I would say that he is the number one choice at quarterback, and I would say your boy Johnny Manziel's number two. I would say Bortles is a very close three.
Yeah.
And then after that, they're really – in my opinion, aren't that many guys that I'd be interested in. By the way, Johnny Manziel ran a 4.56 40 this morning. Mm-hmm. That is almost as fast as Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson ran a 4.49. Russell Wilson might have ran a 4.49 because he was right under 4.5. Johnny Manziel isn't much different than Russell Wilson, except for he's more comfortable running around.
He ran a official time, I guess, because you run it multiple times.
Twice.
Russell Wilson's official time is a 4.55.
Oh, okay. So they're basically the same guy, speed-wise. If you put Johnny and Russell next to each other, and you ran a 40, they would look like a dead heat. Jeff Matthews, by the way, for all you people that follow Cornell, and our big Ivy League fans, and he's good enough to be at the daggone combine. They don't have to worry about Jeff. If Jeff Matthews ever bootlegs in the NFL, if he makes it to a team, no one's going to be, you know, waiting for him to run the ball because he ran a 5.22 40. I'm 60, and if my knee was healthy, I could run a 5.22. AJ McCarron 4.91. You know, nobody ever said AJ was fast. Jordan Lynch from Northern Illinois, 4.72. And for you people that are watching the combine, I know you're having fun because as long as they keep them coming, the combine is a lot of fun. Logan Thomas is a guy. By the way, Bren Renner from who's a West Springfield kid from up here in Northern Virginia, hasn't run his 40 yet, but he's at the combine. Connor Shaw from South Carolina is at the combine. Logan Thomas from Virginia Tech, who, by the way, is 260 pounds. He's like Cam Newton. He's 6'6", 258 or something. And he runs like a 4.75, 4.8, 40. He's probably not quite as fast as Cam, and he's not as good as Cam, obviously. But a lot of people think Logan Thomas is going to be the real – he's the big pickup in this draft for somebody, you know, to learn the game in the NFL later on.
Yeah.
But Bren Renner, man, for him to be there and not have our boy from East Carolina there, to me, makes no sense whatsoever. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a minute with more on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So Johnny Manziel, no real surprise with a 4.56, is the fastest 40 time thus far for quarterbacks.
You know, for all you older guys that know who Bruce Matthews is, he was a 17-time Pro Bowler. I think he played in the league 17 times, and he was a Pro Bowler like 13 or 14 times. His son is a hell of a ball player, and he's at Texas A&M, and a lot of people think he's going to be the first player picked in the draft. There are so many. I mean, you literally cannot have enough offensive linemen. If you look at all of the teams that were in the playoffs with depth in the playoffs, they've all got good offensive linemen. They can pass block, they can run block. But watching Matthews, Jake Matthews, this kid's 6'5", 308 pounds out of Texas A&M. He runs a 4, he ran a 4.91. That's pretty damn fast. He's like 6 yards in front of that quarterback from Cornell, who they should just put 40 pounds on him, turn him into an offensive or defensive lineman.
Pretty fast.
Here's Greg Robinson from Auburn. Now, a lot of people like Robinson. He ran a 4.88, and he's real athletic. And not only was I impressed with Greg Robinson, he wore the tights. I mean, not too many guys that weigh, you know, 324 pounds look good in tights. Here's another guy. Oh, geez, this is great stuff. Absolutely. What they can do at the combine is incredible. They can sit there and run three guys after they've already run together.
Well, they're all wearing those Under Armour performance tights shirts.
Yeah, but you know what? They're my University of Miami colors. I'm talking about Miami of Florida. What's up with that? Is there like a major investor with Under Armour that went to the University of Miami?
You know, Under Armour did something very similar with neon colors with the Pro Bowl. Remember they did the yellow and orange,
yeah,
and the gray. So things are switching up, you know, in recent time with like the it's no longer the red and blue of the AFC NFC. Now it's just kind of like colors that are out there.
Well, I like Kevin Plank a lot, and he's got a guy that works for him. It's an old friend of mine, and a great guy. Was a long snapper with Cleveland, with defensive end with the Washington Redskins. And I gotta tell you something, though, Under Armour, evidently everybody was pointing the fingers at him for those speed racing uniforms at the Olympics.
Oh yeah,
because they slowed the times down somehow. At least they were blaming their times on them. Whether or not that was actually the case,
I blame most of my slow running.
My slow running on the starter. Actually, you know what? When you time, listen. I want everybody. If you don't learn something, listen to a radio show. You should turn it. But if you ever time kids, you don't time them when you say go and hit the button on your stopwatch. You time them when you see motion. You just say, hey, whenever you're ready, you start. And as soon as they start, that's when you click. And as soon as they cross the line right where you are, you click. If you do it any other way, you're not going to get an accurate time. And just thought I'd put that out there for all the dads that think it's important these kids are running 60s. Because, you know, in baseball, when they go to – they're always timing them in the 60 in baseball. And, of course, in football, it's always the 40. In football, it's basically 5 or 6 seconds of just incredible – work, and then you get to wait 35 seconds for the next play, which isn't bad. This kid Bortles is a good quarterback. Where's he from? South Florida?
Central Florida.
Central Florida. He played for what's his name? Same what's the running back with the Redskins? See, you know all this stuff.
The Redskins running back that went to Central Florida.
Yeah, he played for Howard Schnellenberger. He's the guy that Morris.
Alfred Morris.
Alfred Morris.
Did he go to Central Florida?
He went to Central Florida. I'm pretty sure because they both played for the same guy. Let me tell you something. This kid Bortles is a monster.
No, he went to Florida Atlantic.
Oh, that's right. My bad. Well, they got too many.
Same thing.
There's too many of them in Florida.
Down there,
but this kid Bortles is a stud. Now, South Florida plays at Tampa Stadium. Mm-hmm. That's where they play.
Yep.
Central Florida has their own stadium, I think.
And they're a smaller school.
Yeah, well,
they're like the Knights or something like that.
South Florida has got like 25,000-30,000 kids that go there.
They're the AAC team.
Well, it's Tampa.
Formerly of the Big East.
Yeah, and that's where East Carolina's going to be in that next year. You know, they say Bortles reminds them a lot of Ben Roethlisberger.
A lot of people are making that.
Size-wise, I see it. I like Bortles. A lot of people like him. You know, and I'll say this. When Big Ben came up, he didn't wait.
Mm-hmm.
His rookie year, didn't he win a Super Bowl? They went to the Super Bowl.
His rookie year, they went to the AFC Championship game and lost to the
Patriots. And they might have won it his second
Patriots.
Year.
I think it was his second year.
I'm going to tell you something. That guy is a big, tough guy. Now, he ran into some serious problems, you know, when he got into all that hullabaloo with the girls. And that really wasn't all his fault. But And I think everybody knows that story. But he is still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And he's going to be a good quarterback for another 3 or 4 years, in my opinion, as long as Ben can walk.
Yeah.
Bortles runs a lot better than Ben. Ben generally doesn't run unless he has to anymore. When he was young, he did. You know, I bet Ben ran like a 4.95 or something when he got out of college. You know, the other thing I'd like to talk about, too, is, you know, they had the tight ends run yesterday, and, you know, they were doing their thing. And
what did Bortles run?
Bortles was like, I want to say he was a 4.88.
4.88. Ben Roethlisberger ran a 4.75.
Wow. Well, so Big Ben was pretty athletic out of college. And he probably gained 20, 25.
He's a big boy.
Ben likes to eat.
Yeah. Well,
Ben likes to eat.
I can't blame him there, really.
Not me either.
Bortles ran a 4.81. So a little slower, but, I mean, not much slower. I mean, you're right. They play a very similar style. They're a very similar build. I mean, the comparisons to him and Ben Roethlisberger are only going to increase from here on out. And Big Ben, you know, he played for a smaller college at the collegiate level too. So a lot of people didn't know
Miami of Ohio.
Right. A lot of people didn't know who Ben Roethlisberger was. Much like, I mean, I think there's more emphasis on Blake Bortles than there was on Ben Roethlisberger because we've seen so many players come from smaller schools. But at the same time, Blake Bortles, he's one of the top quarterbacks in the country, mm-hmm. and he's not getting the attention that maybe he deserves simply because he played at UCF and not University of Miami.
That's true, and you got to remember one thing. I'm not sure where Bortles is from, but I would say there's a good chance he's from the state of Florida. They got a lot of great football players come out of Florida. Big Ben is an Ohio kid.
Yeah.
Always has been an Ohio kid. A lot of people, I mean, could you imagine if he ever ended up in Cleveland? I mean, I couldn't see that ever happening, but if he ended up in Cleveland, it wouldn't be a bad fit for Ben because he is like those people there. He is a blue-collar, hardworking guy. Now, I'll say this about Ben. When Ben came out of Miami of Ohio, the Mac was basically a hit-him-in-the-mouth run, and he was one of the best quarterbacks in that league by far.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw the ball quite a bit, and he had some pretty good receivers.
I mean, they had some very good quarterbacks in the league, in that conference at that time. They had what's-his-name was at Marshall at that time. He played for the Jaguars for a little bit. What was his name? Leftwich.
He was from Marshall University, and he was slower than molasses, but he could throw. And he was a tough kid. Think about all the guys that have come out of that.
Randy Moss went to Marshall.
Chad Pennington went to Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New York Jets, maybe arguably one of the best quarterbacks they ever had in New York,
mm-hmm.
was Chad Pennington. He ended up in Miami, but I loved Pennington when he was at Marshall. A lot of, you know, he got a bad rep about his arm, but he had a good arm. He just had some shoulder problems.
He did have a little water pistol arm.
Well, you know what it was? But he hurt his shoulder real bad. He played hurt many times. He was a tough guy.
He was good for the Jets.
Well, you know, Randy Moss was out of there.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
Randy
sure
Moss.
Pennington played with Moss.
They had White Chocolate. It was from Marshall, too, basketball side. I want to say his name was Darren Williams.
Marshall has had some – you know what? Marshall had a quarterback there this year that I'll be surprised that doesn't get signed as a free agent. If you pull up Marshall University and look at who their quarterback
– Jason Williams is his name.
Yeah. But I got to tell you something. Marshall University's program, for a team that – you know, everybody knows the story about the plane going down and everybody dying that was on the plane, and they had to rebuild You know, We Are Marshall, another Matthew McConaughey deal. And, oh, by the way, give us a call, 240-317-7294. If you like True Detective, because that is my favorite show now. That, in my opinion, that is the best show on television. Have you seen True Detective?
I don't watch True
Detective. Oh, you got to watch it. It's unbelievable. I think it's on Sunday nights. Sunday or Monday night.
I watch.
Well, Matt, you're getting ready to say something. Say something.
I have to agree because, and I haven't
you're
even seen it.
You're a True Detective
fan? No, I haven't seen it yet. But my business partner, his sister,
he just rants and raves about it.
So I have to see it now.
Wait, she's the
executive producer
for True Detective.
Yes.
Well,
so
Bruce,
I have a connection. I need to see it. Everybody tells me about this show.
I don't.
I heard about it like two months ago.
Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey are unbelievable.
Oh, okay. I know the show.
They're on together, and it's some of the best acting you've ever seen. And I don't know how. Look, if Matthew McConaughey, I mean, you know, I you know what I saw this week too? I saw Dallas Buyers Club. And you talk about Tangent Tom. Here I am going to the Academy Awards as opposed to, NFL Combine. The Combine is a little slow right now. We're going to talk baseball in our next segment.
So,
big time.
But True Detective, what channel is it on?
HBO.
It's on HBO.
That's why I haven't seen it.
Well, you got, yeah.
I don't need your rich folk channels over here.
Oh, stop it.
I don't have it either.
You and your rich folk over here talking about your pinky up.
Well, you're going to be,
Chardonnay.
Hey, believe me, you'll be able to buy it soon. Well, you can go on. What do you call that when you go on your computer?
Isn't it not on Netflix? Yet. No,
it's not on Netflix.
Won't be
they don't have HBO.
Year.
There's no HBO shows there, on.
There are a couple.
What?
I think.
No, name one show.
Oh wait, I'm thinking Showtime.
Yeah,
for Dexter.
You're talking more rich folk channels that you guys subscribe to. Now I'm big on AMC shows. I love all the AMC shows. There's not an AMC show. That
after what they did to my boys from Louisiana, I don't even watch AMC anymore.
Oh, no. That's,
I'll tell
that's
you
not
another
AMC.
Reason I don't
that's
like
it. That's not AMC.
Yeah, that, it is. Oh,
no.
Yeah.
No.
No.
What is it?
That is...
AMC.
No.
No. AMC is Breaking Bad and Walking Dead.
I thought that was AMC.
No, that's not...
Hell on Wheels,
it's three letters.
Which I love.
Well, all of them are.
Yeah, they're all HBO, AMC.
All right.
Real question, though.
Hey,
did
listen,
you,
give
did
us
you
a
watch...
call, 240-317-7294, and tell us what Duck Dynasty...
There it is.
What show it's on.
They were on A&E.
A&E. Well, it's not even... It's A&E, not A&E.
Did you watch Dazed and Confused this week?
No, I didn't get a chance to.
Movie?
I know.
Yes. Yeah, he hasn't seen it.
You've never seen Dazed and Confused?
No, I've never seen it. And I've seen everything. I mean, I've seen pretty much
everything.
They said a guy climbed up here and fell all the way down. Said he only had two beers. How many have you had? Six. You're dead, man. You're so dead.
Look at the blood stains.
You guys are sick.
You know what? I had the DVD. I will let you borrow it this week, but you better bring that thing back.
You don't have to give it to me. I'll go get it. I need to have it.
You need to.
Do you know how many DVDs I have in my house? Like thousands. I just give them away to people. I'm just sitting here. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're having fun today. We've talked about the NCAA seeding. We've talked a little bit about the Combine. The only thing we haven't gotten is a call from somebody complaining about the personal seat licenses in New York.
My girl,
call us at 240-317-7294. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm.
Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. running down our second hour where we are talking about whatever you guys really want
there's
to talk
so
about.
Much to talk about. It's not even funny, but I gotta tell you, I just saw where Zach Wheeler is throwing a live BP at Mets camp. So mm-hmm. Zach Wheeler is evidently in good shape.
Good for him.
He was, of course, the San Francisco Giant number one prospect in their minor league system when he was traded to the New York Mets for Carlos Beltran, who got hurt and sucked the rest of the year. I'm Bruce Hall, and I just tell it like it is. Carlos Beltran, of course, is a Yankee now, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Mets, a little bit about the Yankees during the rest of the show. And if you'd like to chime in on, you know, all of your expertise and what you think is going on with the Mets and with the Yankees, who do you think is going to have the better team? I think that's pretty well said and done. I mean, if it's not the Yankees this year, they need to just mail it in.
Just throw a bomb in
the
there.
Good news is A-Rod won't be on the team this year.
Not literally. No bombs.
Stop that. You know, this is New York we're talking about here. The, you know, we talked a little bit briefly about Phil Mushnick. I'm hoping to have Phil on the show maybe next week to talk a little bit about this piece he wrote about Goodell. I just love that that I'm not the only person that thinks Goodell's a chump. And the league in general are a bunch all they want to do is just take as much as they can. They basically want everything except blood, but they'd take blood too, I think, if they thought they could get away with it.
He's got a lot on his plate right now, man.
Well, let me just tell you this. I love the league. I do. But you know I love the league. I can't stop talking about it during the season, especially. And I love to handicap the games. I love to talk about what's going on. I really am learning not to love. I kind of feel like Sean Salisbury. We were going to have Sean on. He's playing golf. And by the way, one of our good friends, Sean Salisbury, way back when formerly, I'm not even going to say who he was with because they're such chumpettes anyway, but he was just named Under Armour's a head coach in their search for the top high school quarterback in the nation. And that's what he does when he comes on our show from time to time. He's on his way to Houston to work out some kids. And Sean Salisbury, besides that, is one of the most knowledgeable people about football at any level that there is. And he's also a pretty good golfer. He's out there playing golf today. And I told him just keep it in the short grass, and we'd talk next week.
When we get him on, we need to ask him about this guy, Zadik Dinkelman. Have you heard that name?
Yes. I don't know that much about him, but
Zadik
I've heard that.
Dinkelman.
Is he like supposedly the best high school quarterback in the nation?
He's not even a high school quarterback yet.
He's eighth grader.
Eighth grade, and he just committed to LSU.
Well, you know who? Do you know who did that at Ohio State? The guy that's at the Oakland Raiders now.
I want to say
Pryor did that.
Terrell Pryor?
Yeah. Terrell Pryor, when he was in eighth grade, was a monster.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was a quarterback. He probably looked more like a quarterback. Now he looks like a tight end.
Well, he almost committed to WVU. He was a boy out of Pennsylvania. Pryor's out of Pennsylvania.
Well, can I tell you what? He almost went to Duke.
Mm-hmm. In eighth grade, have you even grown into your body?
Well, this kid is...
In ninth grade,
this kid's 6'4", 190 pounds. Eighth grader.
Yeah. Well, he's still growing grade, though.
Can I tell you what?
He may end up being like 7'9".
Well, he might end up being a defensive end, an outside linebacker, right. Pass rusher. He might even be a great tight end or wide receiver.
So LSU,
could you imagine if you could run a 4.4 40 and you were 6'5", 240?
In eighth grade.
You know what they would call you? They would call you Jimmy Graham. And by the way, Jimmy Graham is getting ready to get paid this year.
Eighth grader, man. And so now LSU has a commit for the, I believe this kid is the 2018 class, or, yeah, 2018. So he has a commit for the 2018.
It's a verbal commit, though.
And, right, I mean, he can change his mind.
I mean, of course he's going to change his mind. He's going to end up wherever Lane Kiffin is. He's going to end up in Alabama.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he's going to end up wherever Lane Kiffin is.
Lane Kiffin had a 12-year-old commit.
That's right.
When he was at USC. I wonder whatever happened to that kid, because he's obviously not a Lane Kiffin's guy anymore. And Lane Kiffin's not even
I heard the kid. I heard the kid's touring with Bieber.
Oh, yeah?
No, I'm just kidding.
Man, Now I'm going to have to worry about scouts at my soccer
games.
No,
you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, but yeah, seriously, though. I mean,
the under five is a very
competitive league.
That's
really what it's coming to these days. I mean, this kid, he's 2018 recruiting class, and LSU has a linebacker verbal commit who's a freshman in high school right now, 2017. So they're the only school in the country who has a 2017 and a 2018 verbal commit at this moment.
Hey,
does that mean though? Because
a verbal commit,
when you're in eighth grade, you can barely verbally commit to shower every day.
It means
they don't have to take showers anymore unless they're in the South. In the South, they still do it right. In the North, they're afraid that they'll get sued for making some.
I'm just talking about in general.
Go get looked at naked in the showers. I can remember going to showers in seventh grade with hardly any thing that made you look old, that was growing on your body, and you still had to take a shower and get a towel and dry off so you could get an A for the day.
We didn't have showers in gym, and we didn't have.
Well, that's because you're the younger guys. That's because of attorneys.
Gym class, we didn't have showers.
That's because of attorneys.
And we didn't have sports at the middle school level either. Yeah.
You were in Fairfax County.
Yeah. In
Arlington County, even when I was in school, we had interscholastic sports, football, mm-hmm. wrestling, basketball, track, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. We didn't even go to high school till the 10th grade.
Yeah.
That's why we beat Stewart in everything.
I didn't go to Stewart.
We beat Falls Church and everything too back then. But things changed. Demographics changed. A lot of people came out of there, mm-hmm. went into Fairfax County. Oh, we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah.
I could talk about anything, anytime. I'm talking about Phil Mushnick now. Goodell rewarded handsomely for creating hurdles for fans. That's not a very positive thing to say. And I like Phil, and I agree with him.
And this is sneaking up on. I mean, this story or of PSAs and this. Breaking or whatever you want to call it.
Drop her name. Drop the girl's name.
I'm not going to drop her name. But
it's okay.
She used to work for the New York Giants and Jets, and now she works for Madison Square Garden. Good friend of mine. We went to high school together. She said she wasn't even aware of this. And she is now – she just moved over to MSG last year, so she's 2 years removed from the Giants and Jets. And she said that this wasn't even a thought process when she was with the Giants and Jets. PSAs weren't even being talked about. And that if this is breaking, it's shocking to her. So this is something new that just got dropped on New York and the Jets and the Giants. And that, I mean, you have to point fingers at Goodell. I mean, if this wasn't even a thought process within the Jets and Giants when they were, the new stadium was being built, and it wasn't even a thought process then, and now it's being dropped on them a couple of years later after they get the Super Bowl. I mean, how much attention is put on that stadium now? Have they just hosted the Super Bowl?
Roy, do you think Roger Goodell would donate just 1 week of his salary to my favorite charity?
What is it like?
Maybe I should ask, because that's $850,000 a week.
Yeah,
I'm gonna ask him. I'm going to send him a letter. I'm going to send him a certified letter and ask if he'll give that to Wounded Warriors, the DC chapter, not the New York chapter. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're having fun today. We're kind of in between. Now, listen, there's going to be a great show on Saturday and Sunday in 2 weeks. Right?
Yeah.
I want to say
March 11th, I believe.
What are the dates of the show? Well, today is what?
It's definitely not March 11th because that would be a Tuesday.
Yeah, so you're doing real good, though. I mean, I think it's the 8th and 9th.
8th and 9th.
And Roy and I are going to be in New York, and we're going to be hopefully staying in the Ritz-Carlton downtown. But I'm pretty sure we're going to be in Tarrytown.
Yeah.
And we're going to be at the Westchester
County Golf.
Yeah, but it's the Westchester Center, right?
Yes,
isn't that
Westchester
what it's
County
called?
Center.
It's that old where it's like a bad. It's a great golf show. Can't mm-hmm. wait to get there. And we're going to talk.
We were
more
there
about
last year, and I just bought the clubs that I tested out last year.
I just bought them.
Yeah.
So you must have got a deal on them because they
did.
Have a whole new
a
set
great
on them now.
Deal on them.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So if you're following the Combine, which you should be, on mute, of course, and listening to us, the Adidas came out and said that they would give away $100,000 for the fastest 40 time if they were wearing the new AdiZero cleat. They said the new AdiZero cleat, which apparently got 5-star reviews, and Under Armour is the official sponsor of the Combine, so everyone is wearing the Under Armour cleat, like Johnny Manziel is wearing the Under Armour cleat. But if by any chance you're wearing the AdiZero cleat at the Combine and you run the fastest time, $100,000. Is that enough for you, Bruce, to change your 40 routine?
Do you have to win the 40?
You have to have the fastest 40 time in the Combine. Well, let's say that
I'd say that cuts down the number of guys that are going to wear that damn cleat right there, because there's no way any offensive linemen are going to wear that
cleat.
Bro,
absolutely not.
Well, they might, though. Because, well, I mean, if they're,
maybe they make the argument.
If they're an Adidas rep, I mean, you know, if that's what they are.
But if you're, say you're one of the top 40, you're projected to be one of the fastest 40 times at the Combine, okay? There are, you know,
why not?
You're supposed to be a late round pick, okay?
Right.
But you're one of the faster guys at the Combine. Would you wear this AdiZero and change everything that you've done at this point and running the 40 time, your preparation, everything like that? Everywhere else you ran, let's say you were wearing the Speed TDs by Nike, okay? So you've been wearing the Speed TDs by Nike. Nike, you can send the check to my PayPal account. So you're wearing the Speed TDs by Nike the whole time you've been prepping, okay?
Right.
Now, AdiZero sends this out 2 days before you arrive in Indianapolis. Do you switch over to the AdiZeros to run?
I do if I'm fast enough.
So you would
absolutely.
You would take this
$100,000 is $50,000 any way you look at it, cash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd do it. I mean, why wouldn't you do it? I mean, unless your agent, if you've already pre-signed some kind of agreement with Brooks or Nike or somebody like that. Is it Nike that's doing it?
No. This is Adidas.
Adidas, yeah. Well, they're trying to get some market share. Adidas isn't that big right now. I mean, mm-hmm. Under Armour has passed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Now, Under Armour got in a little bit of trouble. We talked about that.
Yeah.
It wasn't trouble, but it was just they were the ones that made the speed skating suits that seemed to not help anybody in the Olympics. And they took some heat for it. I was listening to that on the Olympic channel. My wife makes me watch all the Olympics. So, I mean, I've got the Olympics on one TV 24/7. You know, Carol, look, she runs the show. I mean, what can I say? I gotta watch it. I really don't get into. I mean, here's what I liked. Oh, look what I'm doing. Bang! We're just going right to the Olympics. What did you like about the Olympics? Here's what I liked about the Olympics in the past 2 or 3 weeks. I love the hockey. Even when we got beat, I still love the
hockey.
That's
the only Olympics I watched.
The hockey is good, and I like the Russian girls curling team because they are so hot. It's not, I don't care if they, I'm not even paying attention to, and they're not bad. And they're not bad. By the way, it's a great article in the Post also this morning about Lockerbie, Scotland. It might've been yesterday's paper, but I think it was today, talking about Lockerbie, Scotland and about what they're really known for. A lot of people remember Lockerbie, Scotland being the place that the tragic accident with explosion, you know, on that Europe to United States airplane blew up and everybody on board was killed many years ago. It was back in the 80s. You know, that was terrible, but that they're known for their curling. That's what they're known for. It's Scotland, and it's the curling is their big thing. And
I do love
evidently,
curling,
yeah, I do too. And well, you know what it is? It's shuffleboard.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to play shuffle. You've been in Baltimore, to the bars,
yeah.
That shuffleboard on those beautiful tables with all the sawdust and all the drinks. Look, we used to go into the Mount Washington Tavern in Baltimore in 1978-79.
Still there,
and we would. But the shuffleboard table is not there anymore, though.
Is it not there?
It wasn't the last time I was there.
We would
play shuffleboard literally right across from the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And all my friends were the bartenders anyway. But as you continue to win, they just continue to put drinks up. on the shuffleboard table for you.
And you play.
You have to be very careful. You don't spill the drink on the shuffleboard table.
Yeah, the two bars that I frequent in Baltimore when I go out both have shuffleboard tables.
First time I met Rick Dempsey of the Orioles, who's he's not a Hall of Fame catcher, but he was MVP of the 1983 World Series against Philadelphia, and Robin Yount, who is a Hall of Famer from the Milwaukee Brewers. The first time I met the two of them, they were together watching me play shuffleboard literally for 3 hours because they were just drinking along with us. And, I had some really good – I was in my 20s. I was young. I was invincible. And I was a pretty damn good shuffleboard player. And that's what curling is, only it's evidently a lot – it's done on ice as opposed to – a piece of wood, but shuffleboard's fun. Anytime you can play a game, look at these kids that play beer pong. I mean, you couldn't pay me to do that. Of course, if I was in my 20s.
Beer pong?
If I was 20 and drunk, I'd play it probably all night long.
I love beer pong.
Do you? Yeah. See, I don't know anything about it. We used to just stand on our head and do it and drink. We used to do headstands and drink. I'm Bruce Hall. Don't do that. Don't do as I say. And I've been sober almost 30 years come Labor Day. Everybody that listens to the show. Let's talk a little bit about
I have to give my favorite moment of these Olympics.
Oh, that's right. We were talking about the Olympics.
Have you seen the videos of where they intersperse all of the figure skating with fart sounds?
I've not seen that.
Look them up during the break.
You can't do that because people can't see it.
It's something you have to see to believe.
I don't watch the figure skating.
You don't have to.
I didn't watch the men's or the women's figure skating. I obviously watched hockey. I'm big into hockey. As you might know, I'm a Capitals reporter. But I pretty much watched hockey. I watched a little bit of the bobsledding or the skeleton where they're going head first, which is crazy.
I like the skeleton the best.
That is – no. Oh, I'm sorry.
I love it.
No. I was nervous just watching.
Yeah,
but that's
the one that takes the most
balls, man.
Well, not only that, but technique is everything.
How do you get into that sport?
What is technique?
Well, because when you
Dad, I think I'm going to pick up skeleton.
Listen, when you ride a sled, how many people you got on a sled? One. I mean, you just get on your sled and you go down the hill as fast as you can.
What kind of skill do you need? Jump and don't die.
No,
there's hand triggers.
You can die easily on the skeleton.
You can easily die.
Someone got killed last Olympics, right? I think.
That
was bobsledding. That wasn't skeleton.
Oh, that
somebody
was from
messed
India.
His leg up bad this year on the bobsledding.
Oh yeah.
You could hear him screaming over the TV feed. It was bad.
It was bad?
It was bad.
It was real bad.
I don't remember what his name was, but I remember the accident.
Well, they're doing the closing ceremonies are going on as we speak, I think, because I think it's over. After the hockey game,
closing ceremonies,
they have closing ceremonies right now because it's, what, 6-7 hours later in Russia than it is now. And look, it was nice of them to at least stop killing people in Kiev for a while.
Oh, that's good.
In Ukraine.
For half of
Well, no, they did. They just quit. And evidently, they're going to have a re-election or something like next week. Mm-hmm. Well, who's going to clean the mess up?
The former prime minister.
Yeah, I would say that there's a lot of weird stuff going on.
So we have to look up the Vegas odds of whether they'll have all five rings for the closing ceremony.
I got a picture of it right here.
They didn't.
It looks like
they didn't put it up.
It looks like somebody took a picture of. It looks like the rings are groups of people here that they made, and the groups of people are expanding out, and it looks like they took the picture before the last ring expanded out. So it does give that same picture of the four rings intertwined and then the one like little asterisk.
So what you're saying is this is not a real picture?
It doesn't look like it. It looks like so far there's been no major screw-ups. So far.
Well, that's a good thing. Have you seen the one thing that I loved about the Olympics? And, of course, I'm one of those guys that loves dogs. But look at all the abandoned dogs that are going back home. How did they swing that? I guess Putin just said no problem. We got to make sure that there's not like some kind of deadly
disease. Are you sure they're not just going
onto
that farm up north?
No. No, wait a minute now. No, they were. I mean, that was one of the reasons a lot of the Olympic athletes were adopting dogs is because they don't they just put him asleep, I think.
Yeah, they were not.
I mean, if you don't have tags,
he's not a dog. He's not a dog fan.
You know what? But he likes like bears. He likes bears.
He definitely likes bears. That's no.
He loves bears.
Yeah. Well, it's like the mascot this year is the bear. I think there's a. I think his Facebook picture is him riding a bear. Have you seen that? Have you seen that image? It's fake, of course, but he's riding.
Are you sure?
He's riding like a
he's
polar
like, yes,
bear.
It's fake.
As he's like, you know, he's like riding a polar bear shirtless or whatever. It's like a play. I think he. I guess he wore a. He rode a horse once, shirtless. And
yeah,
now
well, he goes shirtless. A lot of people think he's had some. Had some work done on his body. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm
cybernetic
sure.
Implants.
I'm sure all of our people have. We're going to try to get Tony Mazur on last segment to talk about this supposed trade that was talked about to get Jim Harbaugh to be the
pro
head
football
coach.
Profootball.com. Man, they got shown up.
What happened?
By San Francisco. You haven't seen the tweets?
No, I saw that, but it wasn't just profootball.com. It was, what's his name? It was the guy that's, he's an ESPN, insider. What's his name? Used to be, I mean, he's been everywhere. Anyway. No, not Adam Schefter, but he looks a little like Adam Schefter.
Well, profootball.com.
Not as perfect as Adam Schefter.
Profootball.com was the team who, sent it out. They're the ones who broke the story. And it was Ian Rappaport.
Yeah, that's a rap sheet.
Yeah.
At rap sheet. He's good.
He came out and he said, you're wrong. You know, he addressed the thing. I'll try to find the exact.
Oh, I thought Schefter did say that they had. I thought he was the guy that started. I'm pretty sure he is.
It was. Profootball.com is the one who broke the story. And Ian Rappaport came out on Twitter and was like, in response to... Here it is right here. In response to Jed York and Profootball.com story, it's untrue. Saying that it never happened. And then Profootball.com came out and they were like, well, your sources are lying to you. You know, they're no one is coming out on the record and saying that it's not true, so it has to be true. So Jed York, who is the CEO of the 49ers,
right,
then tweeted at profootball.com and said, is this on the record? Because it's not true. So just completely shut down the profootball.com story.
Well, we're getting ready to take a break, but before we get into baseball, Nelson Cruz, who did 50 games last year because of throwing steroids into his body, just signed a one-year deal yesterday with the Baltimore Orioles, making the Oriole brass look a lot smarter than they were looking earlier on. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
All right, so the tweets went out. Ian Rappaport and Pro Football Talk were going back and forth. Apparently, Pro Football Talk broke this story that the Cleveland Browns were looking to trade the 49ers for head coach Jim Harbaugh. So Ian Rappaport responded. He said, in response to Pro Football Talk's report on the Browns nearly trading for Jim Harbaugh, Niners source calls it completely false, ridiculous. Pro Football Talk then came back and they said, your sources are wrong. They're lying to you. Hashtag just saying. And Ian Rappaport came back, said it's actually two high-ranking San Francisco sources, just to be clear. Pro Football Talk came back and said, why won't they say it on the record? Then they're avoiding the question. It's true. Jed York, CEO of the 49ers, then came out and said, is this on the record? Report isn't true. So.
No!
So.
He didn't do it.
Apparently, says CEO 49er of the 49ers, this is completely false and is one of these off-season stories that has gotten legs. Now, Bruce, you just brought up the point that there is another guy in the 49ers organization who would be the next in line.
Yeah, Trent Baalke.
who would be next in line to take over the head coaching position.
Absolutely. Yeah, here's the thing about Jimmy Harbaugh, and this is why I saw this as happening. And evidently all this talk happened when Lombardi and Banner still had their jobs in Cleveland. This is what I heard today on another man's national radio show. And what he said was he could see them promising, you know, the owner, Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Cleveland Browns. The guy's having one hell of a time, to be honest with you, with everything, you know, from his company having to pay out hundreds of millions of dollars or tens of millions of dollars to trucking companies who he owes money to that he defrauded, allegedly defrauded. But evidently, the talk started because this talk happened a while ago. Didn't happen this week. I mean, it happened like 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. You know, when the season was over, after the Super Bowl, there was talk like, you know what? We're looking for a coach. Why don't we work out a deal? And evidently, there were thoughts that Lombardi and Banner, because of their contacts, you know, with the Harbaughs and the 49ers, because you got to remember Lombardi's been everywhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's also including
the media. He was a member of the media for a
while. Well, he's also represented by Mike McCartney, who comes on our show all the time. And you know, he's a decent guy, but evidently this thing just didn't work out there. And when that deal that they said they could deliver, it looked like it wasn't going to be delivered, that was when they got let go. Now, that makes a little bit of sense to me. Like, I thought you could do this. And they're like, well, you know, it's just not going to work out that way. Well, fine. You're fired. And, he fired him, what, a week ago? It was a little over a week ago. It was before my last show.
Well, everybody we was had getting fired.
These are two guys that just got their jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, a year ago, and it was management. It wasn't a coach. You know, they shouldn't have fired Chud. You know, everybody was mad about them firing Chudzinski because all of the players loved Chud, you know. And a lot of these, even North Turner got mad, remember?
Yeah.
North Turner got so upset, he demanded to be traded. And guess what? He's gone.
Yeah.
He wanted out.
Where is he now, Minnesota?
He's in Minnesota, yeah. And he's up there with a guy that I like to get the job in D.C., Zimmer. Zimmer's a great defensive guy. A lot of people think Norv is a very good offensive guy. Good. You guys feel that way. That's fine. So you should be very happy. You got one of the best defensive coordinators of all time as a head coach, and you got, you know, a guy that's won 3 Super Bowls and has taken Norv's been with so many teams now. You know, he gets passed around worse than that, you know. Never mind. I don't want to say that. Yeah, I just got cut down with that. But the thing of it is that if this is indeed something that they were promised or they thought they could do, I could see that actually being talked about. Does that make sense to
you?
And I think what happened, I think where he got the information was maybe Lombardi. Because Lombardi worked for ESPN, right, and NFL Network. He was with NFL Network for 2 or 3 years, you know, and he had been out of the game as a general manager for a while. And, you know, he comes back and he's in Cleveland and, you know, he's not getting along with Ben. You know, I mean, those guys, Cleveland was just a cluster, you know what. It was a horrible thing that happened there. But, none of that stuff would surprise me at all. None of it. We're getting ready for baseball season. Everybody, today marks maybe the one of the final teams' first days of having everybody work out.
Mm-hmm.
And
most,
you know,
teams reported what last week?
Yeah, and certain, and you know, Arizona and the Dodgers reported a week early because they're going to Australia.
Australia.
Yeah, they open up the season. Are you ready for, with like a 4-game series or a 3-game series in Australia?
Regular season?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they
suck.
Do. And that's, you know, if you're gonna go, I mean, that just goes to show you how baseball is bending over backwards internationally. And you know, in a way, I like that. In a way, I hate it because I hate, you know, I'm not getting any younger and I'm old school and I'm old fashioned. I liked it when, you know, all of our guys had jobs. You know, I don't like it so much when they go to the Dominican Republic or Venezuela, who, by the way, ain't nobody going to Venezuela anytime soon. They don't like Americans there. They like them well done. No, there ain't nobody going there because we're not getting along even with the new guy there. But
the new guy's going away soon.
Yeah, the new guy will be gone soon. Matt knows those things.
As far as travel is concerned, though, I mean, we're talking about
what is
that? LA,
18, it's 18 hours.
We're talking about LA teams though, here though, right?
We're talking about LA and Arizona. Yeah, they're all going to fly right out of where they are.
I mean, is that a further flight to Australia than it is to say New York or?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Oh God, it's 18 hours or something.
It's
16 hours. It's 16 hours nonstop to go to Australia.
Huh.
It's a long flight. Australia is twice as far as Hawaii. It's a continent. I mean, it's literally near Indonesia. It's that far west. It's so far west, it's almost in the Far East. Figure it out. If you go north of there, you got Indonesia. Indonesia is north of Australia. But if you look up times, like you could even Google this, Matt, if you wanted to, and you want to do a nonstop flight to Canberra, Australia, or wherever, you'll see that I want to say it's probably 8 hours difference, maybe?
Here it is, right? LAX to Sydney takes 15 hours.
Yeah, I was close. 16 hours.
Says the return flight is 14.
Yeah, it's because you got the wind behind you.
Right,
you got the jet stream behind you. So, but I've never been, and I want to go to Australia. And they play baseball.
How did you know that?
Because I know people
because
that go there.
Because he worked
there.
On airplanes.
I know no,
in a different life.
I know people that go to Australia.
Are you the Rain Man of flights?
I'm just old
about
enough.
15 and a half hours.
The only good thing about I knew damn well it was further than Hawaii. Roy hadn't looked at a globe in a while, probably. They don't even have geography in school anymore. Geography used to be one of the coolest.
We had geography.
Yeah, they do.
Public school Fairfax County geography. That's like non-ge. Well, why didn't you know how far it was to Australia?
I was wondering.
I got a D in geography.
I did good in geography. I'm just talking about from LA to Australia or LA to New York. I mean, LA to New York is what, 8 hours?
No, it's 6 hours max. It's actually five and a half coming this way. It's six and a half going there because I used to go to San Francisco all the time. Back when San Francisco 49ers went to Super Bowls, I was cashing in on the ticket to the Super Bowl that went via San Francisco. So I used to spend a lot of time there. And it really sucks when you go out there for a few days because I get up at like 3:30 in the morning, I'm wide awake.
It's 6 hours.
I'm wide awake. It's 6 hours, I told you. And it's five and a half coming back because you got jet stream behind you. Hey, when you go when you go west, listen to me. When you go west, have you noticed how all the storms go west to east?
Uh-huh.
So that's like a lot of air coming at you.
Right.
When you go into that wind,
you
go slow, but it is so bumpy when it's 200 mile an hour headwind that you literally can't sleep, can't do anything, get a little sick to your stomach. It's horrible. When you're coming back with a tailwind behind you, he sleep like a baby because you're like 40,000 feet and you're going way too fast.
So why Australia then?
Because it's becoming big there. It's kind of like football in London.
Uh-huh.
You know, that we're trying to get a team in London in the NFL, or we're trying to get a team or two to play the Western Division teams.
Yeah.
Maybe two teams in Australia eventually. I mean, you know, you never know.
They're going to put teams in Australia?
Well, not first, but we are getting players from Australia now. There are all the colleges out there play baseball now. They play Australian rules football. They play soccer. They play rugby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they play cricket, I guess, tennis.
Yeah, cricket's big there.
And they play baseball.
Okay, so that makes a little more sense to to introduce the game of baseball.
It's nice
to
being
them
a baseball coach.
So that some of their players will start thinking.
I know
MLB.
Boach is glad that the Giants didn't go there. God.
Yeah.
He'd be wore out by the time he got back.
I guess that makes a little sense. To me, it just I don't understand opening season. You know, opening the season.
Well, they just want to get it. They want to get it out of the way because once they get it out of the way,
opening day—that's like an American holiday.
But here's the deal. Yeah, but you know what? That's not their opening day in LA, and it's not their opening day in Arizona. They'll have another opening day over here.
Yeah, what, a week later after every other team in the
MLB? It might even be a
theirs?
Week and a half later. They might do is they might go on the road, or they may just come back home.
I mean,
well, if you look,
I'd be pretty mad if it was my team playing.
You'd be pretty mad.
I'd be
How
pretty
mad would you be?
Pretty mad.
I'd be pretty mad.
I'd be pretty mad.
Well, what is that? You know,
I would have used another word, but I didn't want to get dumped.
She is pretty ugly. Well, I don't get that either. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back with our last segment. And it's going to be interesting. What's going on at the Combine now, Roy?
I guess got an official statement from the Washington Capitals regarding...
Let's talk about Nicholas Backstrom. He got in trouble for taking his medication. What the heck?
Right. He was the... he's a Washington Capitals center. He was the second-line center for Team Sweden in the Olympics behind Henrik Sedin, who Henrik Sedin missed the gold medal round, and I believe he missed the game prior due to a rib injury. So he's been out. He was their original starting center. So that left Nicholas Backstrom to start in the gold medal round against Team Canada, which was today. And Nicholas Backstrom then, in a pre-game banned substance test, I guess you can call
right.
it, tested positive for Claritin, which is an allergy medicine which Nicholas Backstrom takes for his migraines. Apparently, Backstrom's migraines get so bad that he... has to take this allergy medicine. So the allergy medicine was, according to the Washington Capitals official report, is something that was approved by Team Sweden's Olympic Committee and is something that Backstrom has been taking for the past 7 years as a member of the Washington Capitals. So basically, to me, this stinks to the high heavens in the Olympic Committee. Canada ended up going on to win the gold. They won 3-0. And after Nicholas Backstrom had been popped for this and told that he couldn't play, he asked if he thought Team Sweden would score today with their top two centers out. And he said, maybe, probably not. So it sounds like to me they handed it over to Canada on a technicality of...
It was a deal. They had a deal made.
I mean, it stinks. So, well, I mean...
It does stink. Well, they knew about his medicine, too.
Right. And it doesn't look like... He took a second test afterwards, which is a test B, they call it, and he did not fail that test. So that shows that it was the Claritin. So he did get his silver medal, but he was unable to participate in the gold medal round. So,
all right, let's talk about something very, very important here. Let's talk about... the New York Yankees. I talked about them briefly when you weren't here last week, and you know the thing that I worry about with the Yankees is their age. Their average age is what, 34, 35? I mean, it's up there. They've got some good players, there's no question, but they got a lot of guys with a lot of question marks about injuries. I mean, they really do. If you look at the roster for the Yankees, and I constantly look at this roster, you know, you've got – the thing I like is evidently Benuelos threw a flat ground the other day, and he looked pretty good. He had evidently Tommy John surgery last year. He's going to be a piece of this. Hiroki Kuroda is going to be fine. But Hiroki Kuroda is 38 years old. You know, I'm sorry, that's not true. He's 39. Ivan Nova is one of the younger guys. He's 26 years old, 27 now. David Phelps is looking good. He's going to be fine. Michael Pineda should be fine. David Robertson is their closer. He's not that old. He's going to be fine. CC Sabathia, did you see the pictures of CC this past week? He's lost like 30 pounds.
Is he? He's not the roly-poly guy anymore.
No, he's skinny. He's kind of skinny looking. Chances are he'll put some weight on, but and you know what happens a lot of times when guys lose a lot of weight and they're used to carrying it, they'll lose. It's harder for them to have command of their fastball and a lot of their pitches, and hopefully that won't be a problem for him. But CC looks fine. And you got, of course, Masahiro Tanaka, who signed for, you know, over $20 million a year. And he's almost my son's age. He's only a year older than Davis. He's 25 years old, born November 1st. Good birthday. He's a Scorpio. I like the guy already. 6'2", 205. He loves being a Yankee. I watched his presser. It was a good press conference. Cervelli's back after 50 games. Hopefully he won't get 100 or more later. Brian McCann. Doesn't that make you wonder why they let Brian McCann go, Atlanta? I mean, he was a big part of their team for a long, long time. But Brian McCann is 30 years old now. He's had problems with his eyesight. He's had problems with his knees. He's had problems with his throwing shoulder. He's not necessarily that good of a receiver anymore. And they just gave him a ton of money.
Yeah.
Just because of that right field porch. I don't know if that's going to work or not. The good news about McCann is he doesn't have to catch 130 games with the Yankees. They'll DH him when they have to, or they'll just rest him. Evidently, J.R. Murphy's something else. He's supposed to be really good.
He wears glasses, right?
Who's that? McCann?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and he had an issue with that with Atlanta for a while. And
yeah, he didn't hit
the
ball
goggles,
for a while.
Right?
Yeah, well, what he did was he had his eyes examined and found out he had like some kind of a problem with his eyes,
mm-hmm.
one of his eyes in particular, and he was out. I want to say he was out for a month, month and a half. He just took him a while to start hitting again. I don't know what it was. I just knew that they knew that it was time. They couldn't keep everybody. They just paid that shortstop, Simmons, mm-hmm. who's young, and he's a great defensive player. Right. They just gave him a ton of money.
And Atlanta's not exactly a big money franchise.
Well, you know what, though? They are. And they're not like some teams. Like, they're not like the Phillies. They're
right.
not like the Yankees. They're not like – they're more like the Giants. They're somewhere in the 120 to 150 range, you know. I'm talking about million per year. But I will say this about them. They've got TBS. They got all that money. They got Ted Turner. They're spending money, Roy, like they've got it this year. They're not worried about the money they're spending. You know, they got KJ – Derek Jeter, obviously, is playing his last year. That's really sad, in my opinion. I hate that I'm that old. I remember Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter used to get behind home plate in Baltimore when he first came up. And I was, you know, that's before we had our team back in D.C. And I was a season ticket holder in Baltimore. And occasionally I get some seats in section 40, which is right to the left of home plate, first row. And he would literally stand where I could touch him almost. Because a lot of those guys don't get in the on-deck circle. They'd like to get – first of all, the on-deck circle, you can get in trouble there. You can get hit there. But if you get back even a little further and a little closer to home plate, what they do is they stand right there near the screen. And that's where Derek always stands. And I used to say to him, because when he was a rookie, he had the skinniest thighs I've ever seen. I mean, there are guys with bigger calves than his thighs were. And I went, yo, rookie, what's up with those legs? You need to hit the weight room. And he goes, you sound like my damn trainer. And he used to smile. And you could tell right then he was a class act. Because what most kids that were 19, 20, 21 years old would do is they'd big league you. They'd just ignore you. But he, you know, he knew enough to, you know, just he knew I knew a little bit about lifting weights at least. And he just turned and looked at me. He was nice as he could be. I'm going to miss Derek Jeter. KJ, 6'1", 200, 1982. He's 34 years old. Edward Nunez is one of the younger guys. He's 26. Brendan Ryan, he used to be with St. Louis. And he never really made it with St. Louis because mm-hmm. they always had a better shortstop than him. But evidently, he's now a member of the New York Yankees. And he's 32 years old. Mark Teixeira is going to be 34 in April. These guys are not young, Roy.
Yeah.
Carlos Beltran is, you know, 36 years old. He'll be 37, and he is, what's his middle name? DL.
So with all the new additions, the Yankees, because the Yankees, that was the big story this year for the New York Yankees with all the additions.
Right.
You know,
Alfonso Soriano.
They get the big name pitcher.
Right.
You know. So with all the additions,
uh-huh.
is the age that big? Even with the additions, is the age that big of an issue for the New York Yankees?
I think it is. I think it is because 162 games is 162 games, and too many things can happen to these guys. Now, I will say this. They're not going to be known for their defense this year. They're going to be known for scoring five runs a game.
They play in a T-ball park, so that...
Well, they got to score... Listen, if they don't score five runs a game, and they didn't score five runs a game last year, mm-hmm. they scored just under it, I think. But if they don't score 5 to 5.5 runs a game, you know, they may only win 85, 90 games again because they've got to outscore their opponents.
Are they the best team in the AL?
No.
East?
No. Oh, in the East? You know,
are they better than the Red Sox?
I think the Red Sox have a much better defensive team. I think the Red Sox have a much younger team. I think the Red Sox are going to be just fine. I think the Red Sox are the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I think Baltimore is going to be okay. Look who Baltimore's just signed.
Yeah, Baltimore just picked up
Ubaldo. They picked up Ubaldo, and hopefully they'll get him a little license plate that says Ubaldo on it so he doesn't get all bummed out. That was a commercial from last year. You guys don't watch enough TV.
And then,
but the other thing is, you don't remember that
and
commercial?
And then they got Nelson Cruz as well. No, I don't remember.
They just signed Nelson Cruz, who I hate, but he's an American League player.
Yeah.
Because he's a DH. And if they put him in right field or left field, good luck.
Well, they did lose.
Good luck.
They lost, what's his name, to the Washington Nationals?
Yeah, well, he's going to be the
utility outfielder.
Yeah, he's going to be the number four guy in Washington.
What's
and he's
his
a
name?
Great, great defensive player, little blonde-headed
Nate
guy.
Nate McLouth.
Yeah, Nate McLouth, who was also with the Atlanta Braves.
When you said little blonde-headed
little
guy.
Little blonde-headed
what,
guy. Well, that's how I think about these guys. Hey, listen, you know what? I got 35 to 38 kids on my roster for my summer team.
Hey, you blonde-headed.
Hey, and it'll be like, you know, the beginning of August before I know everybody's name.
It's probably much nicer of a nickname that you give Little Blondehead. I think that's a much nicer nickname than some of the other ones that you
Well, you know, let me tell you, McLouth, his name's McLouth. McLouth, mm-hmm. Nate McLouth is a good ball player. He was in Pittsburgh.
He's solid.
Did a great job. Yeah, absolutely. He was a starter in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Hell, he was almost a starter every day in Atlanta for a while. In Baltimore, he did start quite a few games.
Yeah.
I think he had about 400 at bats or so.
He had solid.
He's not going to get
solid
that.
Years in Baltimore.
Yeah, listen, if he's going to pinch run some, he's going to play defense some. You know, they still don't. You know, you got Bryce Harper in left. Mm-hmm. You're not going to sub for Bryce Harper. You're not going to sub for Jason Worth in right. You're damn sure not going to sub for the little guy Denard Span in center. Mm-hmm. I think McLouth is going to be a guy that's just going to get you about, you know, 100 to 150 at bats a year, and they're paying him pretty good money. I want to say he's making $5 million a year. That's not bad. Hey, Jacob Ellsbury, we haven't talked about him. How he translates to Yankee Stadium, I think he'll be fine. But, you know, Ellsbury even gets banged up pretty easy, and you know, he's 30 years old. He's going to be 31 in September. I love Brett Gardner, but he may not even be a starter. Alfonso Soriano is probably going to start in left field. Who's going to start, Ichiro or Alfonso? Who would you start?
Soriano,
they're both,
probably,
they're,
I guess.
They're both
for his
eligible
bat.
For Social Security soon.
So, Jason, this is breaking news I just got here. Jason Collins, former center for the Washington Wizards, just got picked up by the Brooklyn Nets.
Well,
so,
there you go.
So now he is the first openly gay. Basketball
That's
player.
Right. That's right. And he got picked up by the Nets?
Brooklyn Nets.
Well, you know, the Nets are trying to move some stuff around because did you see the big oh, we got to get ready to leave. I hate it. We had a good show today.
Yeah.
You know, because we just sat here and basically commented on everything. I hope you learned something today. And you got to call in, especially when you call you. See you next week on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Bye-bye.